You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
To stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о дискультам,
субъекте
секса.
Pratar om det förbjudna.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome back to Intellectual Erection with your host Patrick. Today I'm talking to Fatima Meshtab, Oasis co-owner and marketing director, and really just a spark plug of a human. Always busy and always on point.
I'm good at like juggling a lot of details. I'm good at following up. Like I'm definitely like I'm on it. I'm on people.
And yeah, you're gonna see what she means. Last thing is just a reminder that this Wednesday, April 24th, we're back at Oasis Aqua Lounge. Intellectual Erection will be there with the Project Panties models, continuing the sales of those dirty panties, as well as some new ones. So come out, support the podcast, support the model, support sex workers' rights, and as always, like, listen, review, and most of all, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with
Fatima.
Yay. And I just learned to pronounce your last name.
Yes, you did. You did a great job.
Shall I go for it?
Do it.
Meshtab.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Fatima Meshtab. From where?
Oasis Aqua Lounge.
Oasis Aqua Lounge. You've heard about this place all over the podcast, probably in nearly every episode. And you are going to hear about it some more. This episode is going to be airing 2 days after we do the Panty Project sale on April 20th at Oasis Aqua Lounge for their Panty Parade and Play Party,
mm-hmm.
where we're going to be selling those dirty used panties that you saw all over the Instagram. And we're back at it again on Wednesday the 24th.
That's right. Yes, very excited to have you a part of the night.
Awesome. I'm really happy that we got to do this together.
Yes.
So this will be an occasion for us to we could talk a little bit about that since this episode is going to air on the Monday, mm-hmm. and then it'll promote a little bit for the Wednesday, I suppose, because we're going to miss the Saturday call, but I've been promoting it heavily.
Good. Awesome. Well, so, I think it'll be a fun addition to the night.
Absolutely. So why don't we just start with what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Have our listeners dive into that.
So I am the marketing director and event producer, as well as one of the business partners of Oasis Aqua Lounge. So I recently became a co-owner last year, almost a year ago last year. And I've been working with Oasis since 2012. I started with the business 2 years after it opened. And I mean, my involvement with Oasis is a combination of like good timing and luck, and it just sort of all came together. I was coming from an event management background. I went mm-hmm. to George Brown and found my calling. I love to produce events. I love the details. I love just bringing people's ideas to life. But I didn't want to apply those skills in sort of a vanilla corporate kind of environment, because right. that's just not something that I was familiar with. And so I thought about, you know, where can I apply these skills where I already have an interest in sexuality, where I'm already comfortable being in a sexual environment. And Oasis Aqua Lounge, I connected with them on the phone and I said, you know, I'm an event producer. I would love to produce events for your venue. And it kind of went from there. I met with the founder, Richard, and I started with one event, which had a slow build, but now I think has a good following, called Sapphic Aquatica.
Ooh. The yeah. one event I've never been to.
Right.
For
yes.
obvious reasons.
Sapphic Aquatica does not permit cisgendered men, but it does allow women and all trans identities to attend. And so it is the one event at Oasis, and actually the one event in Toronto yeah. that is exclusively for women and trans identities to explore right. their sexuality, to connect, to celebrate their identity. And so that's where I started. And then as the business grew, my role with the company grew, because again, I came in when it was only 2 years old. So like, it was great timing, because there was a lot of things that we could do with the business. And so that I just had a lot of opportunities.
So this was in 2012 you started?
2012 is when
so,
I started,
So yeah. then the club opened in 2010?
2010, yes.
Oh, it'll yeah. soon be a 10-year anniversary.
Nine.
Well, no, I'm saying it'll be a 10-year anniversary. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's coming
That's
up.
That's going to be exciting.
I know. It's so amazing to know that like this business has just gained so much community support and legitimacy with like sexuality and the sex positive community, and it really goes to show you that like a sex positive business can thrive just like any other business. Right. And we actually were one of Canada's top 500 growing companies last year, 2018.
I saw the plaque in the inside the
which is pretty interesting for a sex
the drawing room of Oasis. If you will. Is okay. So is this true that Oasis used to be a bathhouse formerly, and then now is it still operate under the license of a bathhouse?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
Right?
So we have to notify people when they come in the door that they will be exposed to sex and nudity.
Yeah.
And so then they can make the choice to decide if that's what they are comfortable with, and that's how we operate.
And I've heard that spiel many times.
Yes. Being the waiver. Being
so I understand that Toronto won't allow any new either strip clubs or sex clubs or bathhouses to open.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I actually hadn't heard that. When did that come into effect?
I'm not sure. I've heard it through the pipeline, so I was hoping that you knew about it a little bit because I wanted to clarify. I know I've heard it a lot more about strip clubs, just that no new strip clubs can open, only existing ones can be purchased and then refurbished.
You know what? I actually haven't heard that. It would be interesting to find out. I wonder if that actually also applies to like in calls and escort agencies and stuff like that. I also wonder if it's applying to strip clubs, would it apply to all sex work under
that
umbrella?
I think that escort agencies are already in a gray area, legally speaking, so there's probably not much sanction for those to begin with.
Right.
But for strip clubs, it was my understanding that no new strip clubs can start as businesses in the city of Toronto.
Okay.
And I also heard that it's the same thing for sex clubs, which is why there's so few in the city itself. Most of the other ones exist outside the city directly. Like you're starting at Etobicoke, Mississauga, Oakville, right? Fact check. So here's a situation with strip clubs and sex clubs in Toronto. So as it stands, in 1978, the city changed its land use rules to forbid new adult entertainment venues. So of the 63 strip clubs that existed, they were allowed to stay open. And over the years, a lot of them actually closed. We have very few in the city now. But it is not actually illegal or against the zoning bylaws to open a new strip club. However, you do require rezoning for strip clubs, which is next to impossible to achieve. This is according to the National Post article titled "Why Dancing Naked at a Bar is Declining Profession in Toronto." I did a little bit of digging as well on the Toronto website for permits and licensing, and it turns out that an adult entertainment club owner operator license, get this, guess how much it costs, get ready for it, $13,702.97. So if you have 13 grand, yeah, you can open a new strip club as an owner operator, but you have to get rezoning first. That means you're probably not going to be able to place it anywhere really in the city. And then you also need an adult entertainment club designated manager. That's a license of $409.46. And every one of your dancers requires a license as well as an adult entertainment club entertainer. That's also $409.46. However, if you want to open a sex club, you probably don't want to open it as an adult entertainment club. You want to open it as a nightclub entertainment establishment, which operates under different rules, and you can have sex on the premises so long as people do not pay for it, right? A membership-based consensual activities without soliciting of any kind is going to cost you a whopping $486.67. So it's cheaper to open a sex club, call it a nightclub, have people fuck in there at their own leisure and under membership rules, and it only costs you about $486 versus opening a strip club, 13 grand, good luck.
Well, it's my belief that the clubs that are outside, like in the GTA, cater to a more specific market than Oasis does.
Right.
So Oasis, we're not a swingers club. We are a, you know, like water-themed, clothing optional, adult playground for all consenting adults 19 plus.
Right.
Whereas like X Club and Ozone and NYX, they're for swingers.
Right.
You know, and so
it is a different crowd.
It is a different crowd, like slightly different. And it's my theory, and this is not, I'm not saying this is factual, that The swinger demographic is a particularly homogenous demographic under a certain income bracket, possibly, and maybe just resides primarily like in suburbs. I don't know. That's just my theory. So I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, I've noticed the same thing. I think that that swingers are typically in specific categories.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's variability, but most of the swingers I've seen are older white couples with pretty good income that can afford things like the swinger resorts, right? Like hedonism and stuff like that.
And also drive cars, because and all of those cars, all those clubs are not TTC accessible. I don't think they are. They're pretty far away from any type of transit, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's sort of my theory that as to why.
Well, also because the concept of swingers is a little bit of an older concept, because now people are more about open relationships, polyamory. You know, they're queering the terms a little bit more. Yeah. So it's a lot more fun in playing in these strange little areas. That's what I like about Oasis, is that it's not strictly just always going to be your hetero couples, or I don't mean hetero necessarily, but heteronormative sort of feel.
Yeah, cis-heteronormative. Yeah.
So you get a lot of variety at Oasis, and you get the water.
Yes, the
water. It's a spa.
And the fact that we're open daytime and nighttime is also pretty unique as well, too, because so many of these other clubs are only open on the weekends, because that is when their customers are coming.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool to know that Oasis is not only like turning, you know, 10 years old soon, also the fact that we can be open 7 days a week and during the daytime. That really sets us apart from other businesses.
For those of you that don't know, it is 11 a.m. to 3 a.m.
www.oasis.com.
Love it.
416-599 pool.
This is the thing I wanted to say. Okay. Last time I spoke to you in conversation, I said that Oasis is a femme-forward sex club.
Oh, I love that.
And you liked that. That's
I love that. I got to say that more often, actually. I really love that. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Right, because I think it caters to safety and good space for a lot of people who identify as women or who are femme.
Yep.
Right,
and I would say that's fair for sure. Yeah.
With the pricing categories, with the way that the events are structured, the nights in which specifically single men are or are not allowed. So I think it does a lot of good work to kind of promote consent, or a type of consent that at least I have not seen as explicitly outlined, performed, and ensured at other spaces that I've been to.
I mean, I've been to other clubs and. It's a different culture altogether.
Right.
It personally doesn't bother me too much, but it's not necessarily the type of culture that's for everybody. And if you're somebody that is quite, you know, protective of your personal space, like sometimes I feel like the culture at like other clubs, and this is not a judgment call, but the culture can be more so ask and then, or touch and then ask, as opposed to ask and then touch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And that's fair. I mean, it's not, we're not criticizing other clubs. It's just that there is a specific culture that comes with verbal consent forward.
Yeah.
Right. And I think part of the, some of the swinger communities is being a little bit more friendly with your touching.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we talk about at Oasis, when people want to watch a scene, is actually like, our consent is active consent all of the time. So anytime you go to touch somebody or interact with them, you have to obtain consent. But when you want to watch people playing, you don't want to ask in the middle of their playtime because it's distracting.
Right.
So we never suggest to ask to watch.
Yeah.
There's other ways to obtain consent through nonverbal communication, like eye contact. You can get a sense of if somebody wants you around them.
Right.
With their eye contact or lack of.
I think people just need to understand the various types of space, right? There's personal space, there's public space, right? So as long as you keep like a few feet back, you're in sort of public space. At that point, you can watch from a vantage point because you're not in private if you're at a sex club. But the moment you're standing right beside somebody, you're in their personal space. So at that point, I think, you're right. That's not something that you should necessarily ask somebody in the middle of a scene, because it does interrupt.
Your verbiage is crossing that line. So it's kind of like you're touching them with your hands. You're just touching with your words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I wonder how many times, a single individual watching a couple or a group play is, you know, going to be invited in the middle of that. You know, it's,
yeah,
I think that's probably not a good time to ask. And it's the same thing for BDSM scenes, right? You don't want to interrupt a scene by asking questions while it's happening, because people are in different headspaces.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's very true.
So it's good. I like the consent work there.
Yeah.
So let's jump on to the first question.
Let's jump on it.
All right. So, I mean, you touched on how you got involved with Oasis. That's one thing that I wanted to ask. And what events you run and which ones you're planning for the future of the club. I think you touched on some of it, but you didn't touch on all the events that you run and the future ones that you want to run, and especially the topic that we came to talk about today, which is, drumroll, you say it.
Porn as performance art?
Porno.
Yes, porn.
Yes. So, what events? What events do you...
Currently I run quite a few. I don't do everything on the calendar, but I produce Sex School, which is the first Friday of every month, and that is an event that brings in a presenter to talk about various aspects of sexuality. Sometimes it can cover things like techniques, like how to give head or how to eat pussy. It could cover things like... things that are a little bit more artistic. Like, I recently had an author come to Sex School and present on how to sort of craft your erotic self through literature. We had a presenter speak on weed and cannabis. So anything that's somewhat educational in the realm of sexuality is what Sex School is. And that's the first Friday of every month. And then I produce all of the Saturday events. So those range different themes.
Right, Unicorn Night.
Yeah, Unicorn Night. Yeah. And then all of the other Saturdays are really sort of, I guess you could call them one-offs, although some do return. So the ones that are a little bit more popular, Unicorn Night is a staple, but Suits and Nudes reoccurs on the calendar. It's one of those events that works in the winter months because nobody wants to wear a suit in August, especially in a venue that has an outdoor heated pool and it's clothing optional. Masquerade events always do very well. Glow events do very well. And then sometimes guests will send us ideas of events they want to see, which is always great for me because I always like having fresh content to work with and kind of develop. Because again, one of my passions is taking somebody's idea and figuring out like, how do we make this a reality and how do we like bring this to our guests and then tie in elements of sexuality in that. Like, I love working with new ideas in that way. And then on Sunday, I produce Mega Party, which is the third Sunday of every month. And that, again, like, the themes can change. I mean, it can be anything from a masquerade event to... it just ranges. It just ranges.
Right.
Lots of different topics to choose from. Sometimes I have live entertainment. I produce Sapphic Aquatica. I produce Swordplay, which is for bisexual men and their lovers. Love that event. And then on the Tuesday, I produce Money Shot, which is the porn erotic photography event that I've been doing for a while.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And then I produce Bump and Grind, which is our hip-hop R&B Friday night dance party. And I'm so happy that it's become a favorite event for people. And how that started actually is like, I have a huge love for like dance and hip hop in particular. And I think it's really sexy, especially like the older stuff, the classic.
I just think
it's so sexy.
Of course.
And I was like, why aren't our Friday nights as busy or as like, why don't people dance on a Friday night? Like, people, because Oasis isn't really a dance club. Like, sometimes we have DJs. But I mean, you know, Friday night, like, let the weekend begin. Like, get on the dance floor. That's like, why do we have that? And so I was like, I wonder if that would work. And so I talked to Jason, DJ Jerotica, and we talked about the event, and he decided to DJ for it, and he's awesome. And then I went through a couple of different ways to have features that would tie in, and so eventually I started working with Erin Pym, that you know.
Right. And I met her on a Bump and Grind.
Oh, awesome.
That's how I met Erin. I was dancing around there. She's like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, recently I started a podcast. She's like, I have a podcast.
Yes.
And then we did cross interviews.
So she offers a lap dance performance and then lessons for couples, because I thought that would be kind of a cool thing to have as a part of the event. And she's been a staple with that event, and both Jason and Erin have been amazing and helping it grow. And so I'm just so thrilled because this is sort of like the dream in my head, and I'm like, oh, it's a reality. Right. Yeah. So I do that, and then Polyamory matchmaking is another one that I produce too. So that welcomes people that are either poly-identified, new to poly, just want to ask some questions. And then there's sort of like a cool matchmaking feature that we have where it's sort of divided up into categories depending on where you are on the poly scale. I mean, it doesn't obviously cover every single spectrum, but a few. And so people can sort of talk and like meet and like exchange and sort of, I think like just bring legitimacy to polyamory too.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like you've covered most of the events.
I think I do,
The only ones I can think of that aren't covered in this are DTF.
Yeah, I don't really handle
some
DTF.
Tuesdays. Then there's the First Taste, which is on some Thursdays, as far as I know.
Yeah, there's First Taste that happens the first Thursday, the third Thursday, the second Saturday, and then also on the first Wednesday.
Yeah. And then there's Queer Bathhouse Night and After Dark. Those are the only events. There's like four.
That is Friday too.
And there you go. Five events that you don't run out of.
Yeah. And then also like my Aquaflirt team is really great about putting together features for Hot Springs on Wednesday.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I was wondering what Wednesdays are called. Is that my favorite day?
Oh, yeah. It actually used to be my favorite night, too.
Yeah.
Because I used to host on Wednesday nights as well.
It's just a perfect mix.
Yeah. It's a really good mix. It's just a really good mix of a lot of different people and gender identities. And it had, I mean, like it still has. I just haven't been on Wednesday nights for a while. But it has a really great just pool party vibe. And especially in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wednesdays in the summer are hot.
It's honestly, in the summer, most of the daytime days are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Sundays are particularly good.
Yeah, I'm so glad the Sundays are picking up because they didn't always.
There's people like lining up at 11 so they can get a spot on the pool deck.
Yeah.
Imagine you can be there fully nude, relax by the pool, read a book,
get a blowjob, whatever.
Do exactly. Like, whatever you need.
Whatever
you drink,
need.
Have a drink. Have a sex in the pool. The drink, it comes in a jug.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a blue sex on the beach just in a jug.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy that on the pool deck. It's nice.
My mom makes this dessert. It's called Sex in a Pan. And I should bring it to the club. Like, I should get her to make it, and then, like, I'll fly it from Thunder Bay, and I'll leave it out. And we'll just
sex
have, like...
Sex in the Pan.
Sex in a Pan. Yeah, so it's, like, a chocolate-based, like, dessert that has, like, layers, and it's called
Sex in the
Pan.
Of course it had to be
chocolate. Yeah, I know, right? Of course, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so then let's get on to what we're here to talk about, which is likely the Money Shot event and how that has kind of turned your work into porn production.
Yeah, it's super, like, it's so interesting when I think back to, like, how that event was developed and then where I am now as far as porn production goes. I'll take you back a couple years to, like, 2014, I think.
All right.
Oasis used to have an event on the calendar called Amateur Porn Night. So we didn't produce Amateur Porn Night. There was a porn producer, I think his name is Porno Mike, and he...
It's such a name, Porno Mike.
Yeah, I know it is, right? It totally is. So anyway, there used to be this event called Amateur Porn Night by Porno Mike. And so his thing was he would film amateur couples having sex. And it was sort of the perfect event for us at the time because we're like, well, you can have couples have sex here and you can film it here. And so then he would have footage for the porn that he needed. So it seemed to work out well. But it's one of those things where it doesn't work unless you have people that want to be filmed. So it really depends on other people's participation and commitment. And so what started to happen, unfortunately, is that people just weren't participating, right? And that totally happens. That's nobody's fault. It's not Porno Mike's fault. It's just some people decide they want to do it, and then they decide they don't want to do it last minute, you know? Yeah. And so then he has nobody to shoot. Right. So it sort of like fell off the map a little bit. And then... Richard had asked me, so I didn't start this night, right? Richard had asked me if I wanted to sort of like take over. And also, I should also mention, at the same time, Spit was also involved in doing porn shoots there.
Remind me what Spit is again. Is it the magazine or?
Spit was a porn collective, and Spit's whole mandate was creating real porn, real bodies, different genders, not mainstream porn.
Right.
And so they were awesome. And I mean, they're still awesome. Like, Spit is still around. It's just, it's being taken over by somebody else, Dana Howell. And now Spit is, I believe, only focusing on trans performers, if I'm not incorrect.
Okay.
But anyway, so Spit was producing porn with Oasis. And then basically the amateur porn night thing wasn't working out. And so Richard asked me if I wanted to step in and kind of like, I guess, give the event a boost or try to fix it because Porn on Mic wasn't involved anymore. And I actually did not have an interest in doing anything with pornography. Mm-hmm. Like just as a person, I wasn't necessarily interested in pornography. I wasn't opposed to it. I didn't find it offensive. I just didn't really understand the appeal. And It's probably because a lot of the porn that I had seen was just kind of, to me, very boring. It's just like close up of genitals and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Same old.
Yeah. And there just wasn't anything like that was like captivating my like imagination. Like it was just like, just in my face, like here's a pussy, do, you know? And it was just like, I need to be a little bit more... engage, like you need to get me there in my head, right?
Yeah.
So I was just sort of ambivalent about porn, but I love a challenge. And so I was like, okay, I don't know anything about porn production, but I really would like to try and make this something, like breathe life into it. So the first thing I did is I changed the title to Money Shot because I thought that was cheeky.
Money Shot is cheeky. It's
and
good.
And then I thought, okay, well, I think it would be really cool to have porn shot at Oasis for people to watch because that's really unique, right?
Yeah.
Like to me now it doesn't seem like a big deal, but really, like, where else can you go to see porn shoots? Like,
right.
You know, like
that
live.
That is true. Yeah, you don't necessarily have access to a porn set to be able to go watch other people have sex. So I guess, you know, marketing for a sex club just makes sense. Is you're satisfying kind of two demographics?
Yeah,
maybe three.
Yeah.
Because
there can be cam models and erotic photography and stuff. So the whole idea was to make this sort of a voyeuristic event. Like, you're not going to be in front of the camera, but you can watch this kind of stuff happen. And then, like, also use the pool and have sex somewhere else. Yeah. Like, so one of the things that I did in order to sort of, like, try to get people involved in this event was I became a member of Rain Dance. And so Rain Dance is an organization that helps filmmakers and funders and actors and anybody that's involved in any kind of production of film, which is a lot of different kinds of people and avenues, bring them together, and they have a monthly kind of hangout networking event. So I became a member of Rain Dance, and I went to one networking event, and it was really cool. It was really fun. I don't drink any longer, but at the time I did, and they had free booze, and it was just like fun to chat with everybody. And so the reason I went is because I wanted to talk to filmmakers who also perhaps did porn on the side, because I'm like, well, you know, that's maybe a possibility. And I was like literally shooting in the dark because, again, I'm not coming from a porn background. I'm not coming from a film background. I'm just like, how do we make this happen?
Right.
So that didn't really go anywhere, but then I started kind of I just did a lot of reaching out to people that I thought were shooting porn, and one of those people was Jay Rodica, but at the time, his company was called Purple Video Productions, and that was before he even started working at Oasis. So Purple Video Productions became a staple as far as a company that was coming into the venue to shoot porn. So he brought in his own talent, and then they would just set up and do a shoot, and people could watch. And then on the same end of that, I was also reaching out to people who did like erotic photography to see if to give them a space. And so really what I was kind of imagining was like different rooms having different things that people could watch.
Right.
And I did that. I mean, and I did that for a couple of years. And again, that was tricky because, again, like the event does not exist unless you actually have people coming in to shoot porn, right? Like the whole event relies on other people. And of course, like, I dealt with a lot of, you know, no shows, last minute cancellations, just general flakiness. And then you're just kind of scrambling, like at like 7 o'clock at night, like the companies are just like, sorry, I can't come tonight. And I'm like, the event starts at 8. Like, what am I going to do? So I was struggling with that for quite a while. And then I talked to Richard and we thought, you know what, it would be really interesting if we just shot our own porn here. So, and I should also mention too, with Money Shot, another avenue that I went is to welcome the space to cam models who could cam live from the club, do whatever they want, because it's a sex club, you can be nude, whatever. Obviously, whatever you make in your tokens is yours to keep. For us, it's just something for somebody to watch. Like, again, like watching a cam model live, I thought would be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
And so I tried all of these different avenues. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. Some events were really popular, some weren't. But it was really like just up and down, because there was so much reliance on outside parties. So we decided that, you know, it would be cool if we did our own porn shoots. And actually the main purpose of us doing Oasis doing porn shoots is to market the club and also to have content that is real and ours and like authentic to the venue showing on the monitors. So we decided that we would move that. And I mean, it's a pretty long, like it's a bit of a journey. I can keep talking to you about it if you want, or do you want me to?
Well, I want to get into maybe more specifics about the porn itself.
Okay.
So let's do that.
Sure.
And then I'm sure the details are going to come out in the woodwork.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So the, you kind of talked about how you got into the porn production, mm-hmm. right? And how you created this event, Money Shot, the types of, you know, issues that came along the way.
Yep.
Getting people there.
Yep.
Just and getting people there seems to be one of the issues. So I'm particularly interested in kind of what type of porn do you now produce, what the focus is, what you're hoping to create, and how it might be similar or different from other porn productions.
Okay. So the type of porn that we create, first of all, we want it to market the club. Primarily because we're not a porn production company. We are a venue. And so we want all of our marketing initiatives to like highlight the things that we do in the club. So it's generally things that we offer at the club. So for example, we have an amazing 7-person Sibian ride porn shoot. It's not 7 people writing it, but just 7 people involved. But
is this the one that's on Pornhub?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I love that. That was like the first one I directed too. Mm-hmm. But we offer Sibian rides at the club, so that like makes sense. We had a gangbang, sort of a gangbang, three bangers and one person.
I think I've seen this one at Oasis.
Yeah,
I've seen it on the TVs.
That was packed, and I mean we have DTF, so like we kind of try to align, and I try to create scenarios that also align with what happens in the club. So when I create like a script, it's loose as far as dialogue goes. I don't want people to have to remember lines. I just sort of paint a picture. Like, for example, like you're going to walk into the club and you're going to go, wow, it's so cool that I can have sex in public and have people watch me. Okay. And that's sort of an alignment with spectator sex.
Right.
So I create a scenario that's a little bit loose. It gives a little bit of flexibility, but there's a general picture that I'm painting. The other thing... Our content is quite varied because the people that attend Oasis are varied. So we have some MF porn, male-female porn. We have queer porn. We have solo scenes. We have a beautiful piece of footage that's on Pornhub, and it's not porn in the sexual sense. It's erotic. We had a director named Nympho Ninja who filmed an erotic photo shoot happening, and I said, don't try to direct the people that are being photographed, just capture the photo shoot itself. And it's beautiful. And it involves, I'll give a shout out to Lola Jean, who's our newest Aquaford on the team and one of our porn talents.
Ooh.
And it's like involves fishnets and some BDSM, but it's very like erotic and beautiful. So I mean, there's stuff that isn't necessarily.
Well, I've seen their work. I follow
Nympho
Ninja, and they follow me as well
on
Instagram. So I've seen a lot of the work. It's quite nice.
Oh, I love his work. And so I actually work with Nympho Ninja for some shoots. I've been sort of brought him onto the team, and I also work with J-Rotica or Grown Erotica. That's his new company now.
It's now Grown
Erotica. Grown Erotica, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And I also work with Cece, who I know that you've had on the show.
Yeah.
So she's my host of Money Shot, and she also is a porn performer herself.
If you need to hear it, listen to the podcast episode, Cece Morel Makes a Porno.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, she was on the
literally
podcast.
Literally, we talk about how some of the porno that she made on at Oasis.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as the process goes, so people contact me all the time to perform in porn. And it's, what I don't do is I don't match up solos necessarily that need a partner. There's the odd occasion where I need more bodies in a shoot, but I can't say to somebody, oh, you want to shoot, but you don't have a partner. Okay, here's somebody for you. I don't do that.
Right.
But I try my best to think of scenarios here and there that can involve more people so that there can be more participation. But I really like when people come to me with an idea or come to me with the fact that they want to shoot, and then I kind of open it up and I have a conversation about like, what is that they would like to do on camera. I don't really like to say, okay, you're going to do this scene, you're going to do this act, and then it's going to be followed by this act, and then you're going to come on her face, or like whatever. I don't really, that's not the way that I go about it. I want to give a lot of, I guess, artistic license to people that just want to, like, also fulfill the fantasy. And the cool thing about doing porn with Oasis is that because we're not a porn production company, I work with people that, like, have maybe never performed in front of a camera before, and I feel like it's really, it comes across really authentic, because, like, it is. you know what I mean? Yeah, like, they're not paid actors. I mean, we compensate, but, I mean, you know, they're not, it's not a job to them. This is something that they just really want to do. So I love the rawness of working with somebody that's just, like, completely new. And, like, I'm kind of new. So I feel like we create something that is really, like, organic, raw and authentic, and, you know, maybe not necessarily as polished as all the other porn that you might see in mainstream porn. But, I like that.
Yeah, and I think like you were saying earlier, some people don't want that high production value with all the scripting, and where it's obvious that these two people have never met before that scene.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's very detached, and there is a market for that. Yeah, the cis hetero guys that like to watch that kind of genital porn. But I've also heard a lot of people just being bored with that type of porn, and people from, you know, the queer community, you know, femme-identified people, they want to see maybe something that appeals to their
sexual
ways
experience
of having sex, or wanting to have sex, or wanting to be aroused. So it makes sense. And I've actually seen some of your porn production, because being in the club, it's displayed on the TVs.
Yeah.
It's also on Pornhub. I checked it out at the time when I was doing the CC Morel episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have a different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And what's also cool is if you happen to be in the club, you'll probably run into one or two of the porn actors that you see on the TV.
Because they're from our community.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's
they're regulars.
Yeah, exactly. And I really love the fact that that this community has been developed. And another thing that I sort of try to do as I guess, I don't direct. I mean, I direct, but I'm not the videographer. So I don't hold the camera. I'm not the camera person. I don't know how to tape the stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just paint the picture.
Right.
But like, when I'm communicating with people that want to do porn, like, I'm almost like protective of them. And like, I really want their experience to be like really great. So I feel like I go out of my way to make people extra comfortable, really put everything out on the table, be very clear about what's expected or what they want to do and what the scene's going to look like, what the compensation is right off the bat. Because I think it's really important to be as explicit as possible, and it also aligns itself with ethical porn. And I was actually a speaker at the last Toronto International Porn Festival, of which we had three films nominated.
Ooh.
And I was actually a speaker on the ethical porn panel. So I actually got to share the stage with a talent named Brewster, who is a non-binary POC porn performer who's worked on like Erica Lust films and things like that. They're like amazing. So that was pretty exciting. But I really go out of my way to make sure that everybody has an amazing experience, because again, we're not just shooting a film. They're coming into the club.
Yeah.
And they are experiencing this in the club. So to me, it's just as significant as them coming in as a guest and just having sex in the club. So I want their experience from start to finish to be really great and comfortable, and for people to walk away and go, wow, that was so much fun. You know, I don't want to apply pressure as far as like, it's got to look like this and you have to be angled like this. Because I think that sort of like ruins the feel of it. But again, I mean, that's just because it's specific to Oasis. So I can't really speak on how other porn is produced by other companies. Like, maybe it works for them, but for us, I think the experience of the people that are performing to me is one of the most important things.
Well, it sounds like the people that come in to perform, you work with them rather than them working for you.
Yeah.
Especially since I've seen, like I said, some of the videos, and I know some of the people involved. I know some of them are couples, some of them are partners, some of them are more casual than that, but they all know each other and they have, you know, pre-established relationships.
Yeah.
So it just kind of adds that organic feel to the filming and to the whole process. And it's nice to know that there is that ethical side of it that has people involved, as opposed to being, you know, a situation where somebody could potentially get taken advantage of because they need the money.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, you know, as often people stigmatize about the porn industry because it does happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to filter those things out unless you know of a porn company that puts their ethics forward.
Right. Right? And there are some great ones. I mean, CrashPad is one of my favorites. CrashPad porn, they create queer porn. It's really beautiful. One of the things I like about CrashPad is that you sort of see from start to finish all of the things that happen in like a sexual encounter. So like they incorporate safer sex into their porn. So like you see really sexy uses of condoms, really sexy uses of gloves, zippers being pulled down, just sounds that like lead up to sex. And that's what I personally like. You know what I mean? I like to see the build up, and I like to see... And they incorporate consent in a really kind of sexy way where it doesn't appear awkward. Because I think one of the things that people have a hard time wrapping their heads around, I mean, consent as a theory, everybody's on board with. But like, how do you incorporate it in a way that like is still sexy and natural? You know what I mean? And where you're not maybe stopping a mood. And, you know, like, and there's, I mean, there's lots of different ways you can do that. And I think seeing it in a porn is really helpful because you can be like, oh, I can put on a condom like this, or I can use these gloves. And like, it doesn't, it kind of lends itself to the experience as opposed to sort of like halting it.
And I think, I mean, personally, I do like seeing some of the realness in porn. I like it somewhere mid-production. I don't like high production because then you know that everything is just organized and set up in a particular way. And there might not be pre-established relationships or any of that. And amateur porn, on the other hand, is usually very low production quality. You get one camera angle, so you don't really get to see much of the sex itself. You kind of have to envision it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not interested in envisioning it if I'm watching porn.
Well, exactly. So you might as well think about it.
Yeah, I like the in-between, which sounds like what's happening here. I've found a category of porn a while back that I really enjoyed, which was... it's called just behind the scenes, and basically you see the actors working with fluffers, it was so much sexier because they seem more into it. There's a genuine engagement there when people want to fuck versus when they have to put on the show,
right?
Which actually makes the difference for performance as well. It reduces performance anxiety, I think, especially when it shows for those who have a penis.
Yep.
Right? Performance anxiety tends to show in those instances.
Obvious,
yeah. For sure. So, and I'm sure even with vaginas, there's you know, I forget what the term is called, but where it can tense up or it can not lubricate or like
like vaginosis. Like obviously like not being wet enough.
Fact check. It's actually called vaginismus, which is an involuntary tightening of the pelvic floor muscles. Factors that can cause or exacerbate vaginismus include anxiety, past sexual trauma, or fear of intercourse. So, yeah, it affects vaginas as well. Yeah,
like
so all these issues that, you know, you don't really see in high production porn, you just assume that everything's shown on their best day. You come in and you just raw dog it and everything's great, and like the cock is the hardest thing you've ever seen, and the pussy's the wettest thing you've ever seen in hetero porn.
Yeah.
So I do like to see some of that realness because then it makes it hotter knowing these two people really want to fuck each other as opposed to these two actors really want to get paid.
Yeah. You know? It's kind of like the difference between seeing like a high production Academy Award winning film versus like something that's like independent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like the fact that our porn talent are familiar with each other, regardless of the relationship status. Like I feel like people that have been working together tend to kind of be a part of the community. When random people ask me, especially solo, or I guess not partnered cisgender men that want to be in porn, and it's sort of a random email, it's like, okay, have you been to the club yet? Like, do you understand the culture? Do you know people at the club? Because like that visiting the club and connecting with our guests, like that's where you're probably going to find your partner. Like, it's not my responsibility to hook you up. I mean, mind you, I mean, I try, right? I mean, being a part of the Oasis community, that's where you're going to meet the people that are going to be, like, A, like open-minded to even shooting porn in the first place, and B, you know, are versed in the types of things that we want to include in our porn or don't want to include in our porn. So, I think the community itself is really important.
Pardon? These are very important things because if you come in to a place like Oasis and you know the sort of ethos and like the atmosphere there, you play with people or regulars there, you have partners, you come in with somebody that you want to do a porn shoot with, It's going to be a lot more comfortable than you trying to get paid and get laid.
Nothing wrong with getting paid and getting laid, though.
There isn't, but you might not anticipate the amount of anxiety it can produce and the type of, performance anxiety that can happen, right? I'm sure you've seen it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the scenes or at spectator sex, right?
Yeah.
Like, even when you know the people that you're performing with, it's having eyes on you, having cameras on you changes the mood a little bit.
For sure.
It's good to have as much comfort as possible, and that's built through relationships.
Yeah. Well, speaking of performance anxiety, I mean, it's true because unlike production companies, Oasis Aqua Lounge, our porn shoots are usually in front of guests as part of an event. So that's where I came up with the term porn as performance art, because it is performance art. You're performing in front of us. Not to say that we don't do shoots like when the club is like quieter or like when we first open or just before we open, but it also serves a dual purpose, having people watch, again, because it sort of comes back to the whole idea behind Money Shot, which is like you get to see a live porn shoot, right?
Right.
But yeah, performance anxiety is definitely a thing. And I think it can happen to kind of anybody, whether or not they're experienced or not. Actually, this is a great segue into the porn shoot that's happening on April 23rd, Erotic Hypnosis.
Ooh.
So I actually had the pleasure of meeting not one, but four erotic hypnotists.
Erotic hypnotist.
Which is pretty cool, just even on its own. But one of the people that I'm working with, her name's Antoinette, and her company is Inductions and Hypnotherapy. Hope I got that right. So she works with people, provides hypnotherapy for things like erectile dysfunction, addictions, mental health, depression, all these types of things. And so I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to have her involved in a shoot where she is sort of addressing, an erectile dysfunction in the middle of a shoot, because that happens. Mm-hmm. And so there's a porn shoot that I've arranged, and I'll give a shout out to the talent. Thomas Rock and Meredith Tourmaline are going to be shooting at Oasis April 23rd. And yeah, it's going to involve an erotic hypnotist. So we'll kind of have, so we'll see how it goes, because we've never done that before. But
that,
like,
that sounds very interesting.
I feel like it would like answer a lot of our, like, just be an answer to a lot of like the issues around nervousness and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. That is pretty cool. Especially, I mean, I was envisioning, as you're saying this, somebody lying on a Freudian type couch, and then
the casting couch.
Yeah, and then having like a psychoanalyst kind of talk about the issues of impotence, and then this person begins to imagine trying to get an erection, and then the imagination comes to life in the form of a person who's then like playing with them. Ooh. And trying to get them aroused, and then it potentially either happens or doesn't happen, and then like the hypnosis and the talk is like supposed to assist. So I it'd be a cool way of alleviating the anxiety of having to get the erection, while at the same time acknowledging the process and its difficulties.
Yeah.
And I found that in a lot of performance, being able to acknowledge the anxiety somehow actually reduces it.
Yeah, for sure. I think it does. Because I think people, I mean, again, I don't have a penis, so I don't know what it's like, but I'm thinking that you're coming into a situation and like that's like your fear, and you're you're focusing on that fear and you're kind of creating, that's your situation now. You know what I mean?
It's all in your head, right? At that point. And if what happens is, I think your body just enters maybe a fight or flight mode. And at that point, if there's a little bit of adrenaline or fear in your anxiety, your body's natural response is to shrink your genitals.
Yeah. I was gonna say fight or flaccid.
Fight or flaccid. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I used to run long distance, and I had a partner at the time. So what I do is, as soon as I came back from my run, I would pull down my jogging pants and just show her how much shrinkage I had. It was incredible.
Interesting.
It was like, we would just laugh because it was just
turtle in the shell.
Yeah, it was absolutely shrunken. It looked like two raisins and a peanut.
I mean, well, body shame, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's funny how funny.
I'm just talking in proportion to what it could be. It was not that the shrinkage was severe. I'm not trying to shame people.
Oh no, of course not. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I saw a post on Facebook, and it was somebody talking about, how there's jokes about like penis size and stuff like that, and it's so ingrained in our culture that we stop seeing that is kind of like body shaming, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And like for some weird reason, mainstream culture think it's okay to joke about penis size, but like, mm-hmm. but like it's still the same thing, right? And so I kind of thought about that, and I'm just like, yeah, you know, that's a good point. But I, you know, I've never seen the erotic hypnosis take form, so I'll see it for the first time in April. But I think it'll be really interesting. I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's the thing I love about like creating these scenarios is that we can really kind of could just kind of do a bunch of different things because we don't really have anybody to answer to as far as demands from the porn market or anything like that. I mean, we've sort of created our own niche, I guess, in that way. And then I also really love collaborating with different people. Like I mentioned Nympho Ninja, J-Rotica, Grown Erotica, all of the different people that have been involved in our porn. There's so many. Like, I mean, I could just whisk them off, like Ginger, Sporty in Charge,
yes.
Lilla Jean, Sophie Rose back in the day. I mean, there's Cece. Yeah, there's been so many people that we've been able to work with. It's been really great. To build this community too that doesn't seem super prominent in Toronto, but I feel like it's there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered, I think, most of the stuff that I was planning to ask you.
Awesome.
So, and by the way, I do love the slogan.
Thank you.
Porn as performance art.
It came to me. It just came to me one night and I was like, oh my God, like this needs to be on a t-shirt. Like, yeah, because the way that, I mean, my personal taste in porn isn't everybody's taste in porn. And I'm certainly not saying that everybody has to like what I like. But like, mm-hmm. for me, I'm really drawn to the performance aspect of it. The artistic, like what people can do in front of the camera. Like the things that you don't see, laughter and...
Yeah, all the cool...
goofiness and all this, the really human stuff, right? And like the slogan to me just kind of wrapped that all up.
Well, I watched, I recently had somebody send me an avant-garde porno, which had really cool elements of like music, people playing like violins while there's a bed and like two women. You see
I
this?
Heard about, no, I heard about it. It's okay. It was made by that rapper.
Was it?
Yeah. It's a female rapper and she had a goal to create a porn.
Yeah.
And it's out there and I need to see it because I have not seen it yet.
It's really good. It's
I want to see
it. I watched this thing like I would watch something that I'm interested in. I didn't watch it as porn.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just watched it because I wanted to see all the scenes. And like, this is really well, it was high production, but it's high production with an angle.
Yeah.
Right. It's got the avant-garde angle. So you got the music, you got the scenes, you got flashes between
genitals,
faces. The first scene is two women on a large bed, then it's two men, and then it's two trans women through transparent boxes using a sort of glory hole. It was all very cool.
Oh
very,
my God. Like that is like my dream porn. Like that's the kind of stuff I want to see. That's the kind of stuff I'd like to
If I find
make.
It, I'll send it to you.
Oh my
it's
God,
really
please.
Good.
I've actually been dying. Like I read about it before it happened. Mm-hmm. I heard about when it launched. And I haven't seen it. I don't like. It's definitely not something that you can get free, which is good because I feel.
I think it is on. It's on Pornhub.
Is it free content though?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a long video. It was like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was like half hour. I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever I saw was available through a link.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't downloaded content. It was. I think it was on Pornhub. Fact check. The porn is called "I Love You," and it's by female rapper Brooke Candy. You can find it for free on Pornhub, and it's about 40 minutes long.
Okay, cool. I have to check it out, yeah, because that sounds like a dream. The other porn that I really like is the Hump Film Festival.
Oh, yes,
it's so good. Oh, my God. Like, I just loved how incredible, like, how people could just capture so much humanity in such a short period of time.
Yeah,
like sexiness, humor, there was sadness, there was like an amazing plot, like like that's the kind of stuff that I absolutely love. And I mean, it's not necessarily the kind of stuff that really works with Oasis Aqua Lounge, but I mean, mm-hmm. I guess if I ever had the opportunity, because like some of it is a bit like, again, like our porn is to market the club primarily.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be doing that, that's sort of our focus. But I mean, just on my own, like if I could create something like that, just be like the visionary behind it. Like I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I love
that festival. It was beautiful. I'm going to be going to the next one as well.
Cool. I loved it.
I my first time was last year. I think that.
Yeah, me too.
And that was just wonderful.
Yeah.
So we saw the same ones. Yeah.
Yeah, it was at the hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is your opportunity now to plug away.
Okay.
For everything.
Cool.
You can plug the club, plug
the
porn hub,
so
where people can find it. Yeah.
Okay, so I will first of all plug April 20th because you're going to be there for the Panty and Play Party.
Yes,
which is
Panty Parade and Play Party. We're going to be selling the Project Panties with the Intellectual Erection logo. Mm-hmm. 10 models have worn 22 pairs of Intellectual Erection panties. Some of them have done dirtier things with them, masturbated, inserted them, squirted through them. Some may have had sex with them on. I'm still gathering that information.
Yeah.
And one person, Zoe Bell, who's been on the show, is going to be doing a live squirting demo through a pair of these panties that you can then purchase that day at Oasis.
Hot. I also want to say that Luna Matadas is going to be returning for a workshop on butt stuff. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, because like, you know what, you put on a pair of panties, your bum's right there, right?
Amazing.
So we gotta pay homage to the bum.
Absolutely.
April 21st is the Mega Bunny Play Party. So as I was saying, Mega Party has different themes. It's Easter Sunday. Let's get sacrilegious. If you have Monday off, you know, party for as long as the club is open, which is until 3 a.m. And then we have the Erotic Hypnosis Porn Shoot on April 23rd.
That's a Tuesday.
Swordplay is returning on Sunday, April 28th. Mm-hmm. That is a bi-monthly event. So that'll be the last event until we have the Pride Edition, which is in June.
Men, bi-monthly.
Yeah. Oh, and then we have another cool thing because, again, like there's an extra Tuesday on the month in April. So we're going to be having a comedy show called Dying of Exposure. It is produced by Rush Kazi, who is a local comedian. She has brought out a roster of comedians that are going to be performing at the club on April 30th, which
Amazing.
Is a Tuesday. Yeah, so that'll be really cool, unique offering for our guests. And then we move into May, which is National Masturbation Month. So there's a bunch of events that I put on the calendar that celebrate masturbation. I mean, we do that anyway, but why not just really highlight it in May?
Right. Do that.
Yeah.
And then the 24th, the Wednesday of the 24th, I'll be there again with the models selling the panties again.
Yes.
We're doing two events Saturday because it's couples only, no single men.
That's right.
And then Wednesday is to give the single men a chance if they want to come in and also purchase some of these panties. You can buy them in cash. I also have the Square Canada app on my phone so I can take your plastic. Give me your money.
That's handy.
It's
like
to
it.
Support good cause, the podcast, the models, sex workers' rights. So where can people find Oasis? Where can people find your porn?
So Oasis has a bunch of different social media platforms. We have a Facebook page. We're on Twitter. Sadly, our Instagram page got shut down. But there is SAS After Class, which is the Monday event. There's now an Instagram page for that. The Oasis Aqua Flirts also have an Instagram page, so you can follow the adventures of the Oasis Aqua Flirts on Instagram. You can also follow the Oasis Aqua Flirts on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. We have a Pornhub channel, Oasis Aqua Lounge. You can follow that. We have a ton of content. A lot of our content is like anybody can see it. It's completely free. We have a couple of films that are exclusively for Pornhub members, but we try to make it as accessible as possible because, again, it is a marketing tool for the club.
Right.
And we are also on YouTube. We have some content on YouTube as well. And in fact, we have a post-porn interview that was taken after the 7-person Sibian straddle. So it's actually just a lineup of the all of the porn talent, and it's facilitated by Lady Zay, who's like one of our brand ambassadors on YouTube. So yeah, we have a growing YouTube channel as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been fun.
It has been fun.
All right. Fatima Meshtab.
That's right.
Thank you for your time. And I look forward to working with you on future events, like the panty stuff, and just seeing all your work from behind the scenes where you usually operate.
That's right.
Pulling the strings.
I do. I'm a behind the scenes girl. Thank you so much for having me on Intellectual Erection.
Thank you so much for being here.
You are listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.